If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ezekiel chapter 48. And we're basically just going to look at the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. Because the name of God that we're going to look at today is a name that I think has one of the most profound truths in Scripture that tells us that God is not distant and He's not aloof, but He's present. And in this final verse of Ezekiel, I think we're introduced to one of the most beautiful names of God, and it's Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. And it's just a reminder that this name proclaims that the abiding presence of God is with His people. And so when God reveals Himself through His names, He unveils different aspects of His character, which we've been talking about, and He wants us to know Him this way. He wants us to trust Him, and He wants us to experience Him and all of these names that He gives us. And so Jehovah Shammah assures us that no matter where we are or what we face, whatever it is you're going through, God is not absent, but He is there. And the name Jehovah Shammah, this right here, this name in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 5, is the last of the names of God in the Old Testament. This is the last time that He's revealing Himself to the children of Israel, because Ezekiel is prophesying during the time when the children of Israel are in exile in Babylon. And he's giving various visions. Ezekiel, the first half of the book, is just basically that God's forsaken them. They have come and they have really sinned against God. Their idol worship, the injustice that they're doing amongst the people, their rebellion against Him. And what has happened as a result is that the presence of God has departed from Jerusalem. And this departure of God's presence really is no small matter. I mean, because you think about it, the very presence of God meant everything to the nation of Israel. It was their source of protection. It was their blessing. It was really their identity. And so when the presence of God is being removed, you can imagine what is happening in them. And that's what Ezekiel is doing in chapters 1 through 32 of his book. He's telling them that God has left. God's left the building. They're there. I am sure that they're worshiping God. They're going through all of the temple sacrifices, doing all of the things of going through religion, just going through the motions of it, but not experiencing the presence of God. And that's a scary place for the children of Israel, but it's a scary place for us as well, isn't it? Because we can do the same thing. We can just take God for granted. We can assume on the grace of God. We can do so many different things that we can fall into that same trap, because our hearts are no different than the children of Israel. Our hearts are prone to wander. Our hearts constantly says and builds up idols in our own life. And we see that. But Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, when God departs, judgment begins. It's not hell that is the worst of punishment, but the absence of God. And that's what I don't want to ever experience in my life. And so what Jehovah Shammah tells us is that God is always there. And so then in chapters 33 all the way to 48, but in particular chapter 40 through 48, Ezekiel is prophesying about a new city, a new thing that's going to come. And this city is going to be great. God is going to be there, and He's going to, God's presence is going to be there in the midst of it. And so here, this idea that we see of what has taken place with Ezekiel in the midst of this, and let's look at verse 38 here, or 35, I should say. And it says, the circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits, And this is the important part. And the name of that city from that time on shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And so when we see that, that this is a, this name, Jehovah Shammah, has a past, it has a present, and it has a future glory to it, which we will get into and look at because God has given us that. You see, the wonderful, but the tragedy of sin is not that it just breaks the rules or breaks the commands of God, but that it breaks fellowship with God. Because we were created to walk with God, but we saw that sin basically expelled Adam and Eve from the garden. Sin exiled the children of Israel from Jerusalem. And sin for us, it alienates us from God today. But the great news in all of this is that the story doesn't end there because God is not content to remain distant. Aren't you glad about that? In the midst of our sin, while God may come and he may discipline us or he may, his presence may pull away from that, he's not content to stay there. He's going to draw us back because he loves us. And so even in the midst of judgment that the children of Israel are going through in captivity in Babylon, God uses Ezekiel first to let them know that God's not there of what's taking place. But then through 40 through 48, God, in the midst of the judgment, promises restoration. I mean, it just shows you the covenant-keeping aspect of God. He's a covenant keeper. He is not a covenant breaker. You and I are covenant breakers, but God's a covenant keeper. And he's always going to fulfill his promise, and he's going to do that. And that's what he does, and that's what he begins. He is promising the children of Israel that they will be restored. And so God gives this prophet Ezekiel, he gives him a vision of this new temple, of the restored Jerusalem, and then he declares with the final words of the chapter, he describes it and he said, this renewed city will be called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is going to be there. And man, what a hope-filled name that is. After all the devastation, after all the exile, God promises to return and be amongst his people. Tony Evans says this, Jehovah Shammah is the God who shows up, not just occasionally, not just when things are good, but he is always there, always present. That is the ultimate promise of restoration, that God is always going to be there with us. And the thing that I love about this name, Jehovah Shammah, is it's just not merely about a place, but about a person. The person of Jesus Christ, which we will get into in just a moment. God doesn't just want to be near his people. God wants to dwell among his people. And so from the tabernacle in the wilderness to the temple, God has always desired to make his home among his people. That's what he tells us in Leviticus chapter 26. He says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. So we see this idea of what God is doing. He always wants to dwell among us. He always wants to be among his people, even like I said, from the tabernacle in the wilderness to the temple to Jesus Christ himself. God always wants to be with us. And so Israel vision that he has here, it doesn't end with a structure. It ends with a name. Jehovah Shammah. I'm building this city. I'm building this city, he says. I'm going to restore. I'm going to build a new temple. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. There's going to be all of this. And this structure, while there, while it's great, but the name of this is the name of a person. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord will be there. He will all be there. That's the ultimate blessing that we're going to have in heaven and that future glory. It's not just the streets of gold. It's not just peace from our enemies, but it's the very presence of God himself, fully known, fully revealed to us. And I look forward to that day. But God here in Ezekiel's vision is not just promising them a rebuilt city. It's not just that. He is saying we're going to do all of this stuff. But what he's promising is a renewed relationship with the people of Israel as well. A return to his abiding presence with them and a glimpse of something even greater to come. That's what his promise is. And it's not just this hope of something there, but it's this promise of a renewed relationship because Jehovah Shammah will be there. My presence will be right there in the midst of this new city. You're going to be able to experience it. And what a hope that was of a future day for these Israelites of what's going to happen in their life. Now, what's happened in between this time from the time of Ezekiel prophesying until Jesus shows up is 400 years. I mean, imagine. Imagine you're not experiencing the presence of God. Imagine that there's no prophet is standing up bringing a word from the Lord for you and for your people. I mean, the discouragement that can come out of all of that. And you're thinking, man, is God dead? I mean, he's not speaking anymore. What have we done? I mean, you just go through all of these things. But then we just fast forward to the New Testament. And Ezekiel's vision really does find its fulfillment, not just in stone and mortar, but in the person of Jesus Christ. We know this from John 1:14, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you've been well taught by Tom on that verse. Well taught. And I know he has told you that what that word dwelt means to tabernacle, to bring his presence here with you. That Jesus came from heaven and took on flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. He was with us. Jesus really is the visible presence of Jehovah Shammah. He's there. He's with us. He is Jesus, God with us. He is Emmanuel. His presence is here. He was walking among us, not just walking among us. He was one of us, tempted in every way we were, yet without sin. And Tony Evans again says this, the coming of Christ was the reentry of God's presence into a world darkened by sin. He is Jehovah Shammah in the flesh. God's presence there with us. When he walked this earth, he brought the presence of God wherever he was. He brought the presence of God into the lives of ordinary people. He brought it into the sick. He brought it into the sinful. He brought it into the outcast. He brought his presence in everywhere, and he even brought his presence into their pain. He entered into their suffering. That's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus knows what you're going through. He's there with you with whatever it is that you're going through. He is going to be with you whatever it is that you're going to face down the road. Jesus is here, and he wants you to know that. He's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord God is here. He's with us. Jesus is that fulfillment of God being with us. You see, on the cross, Jesus took our sins so that we could be brought back into God's presence. That's why he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we would never be forsaken. I mean, that's the promise that we have. We see this. We see that wherever Jesus Christ is, there is God. He is the true temple, the living presence, the divine glory among men. He's there for us. We see this. We see this at the cross, as I mentioned. We see this in the resurrection when he guaranteed that there was nothing that was going to separate us from God's presence again. That's what Jesus said in the promise that he gives in Matthew 28:20, as he tells the disciples to go in the world, and he reminds us, he says, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm always going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am going to be the presence that's going to carry you in the midst of the storm." And this promise that we have, not only on the cross that we're going to be forsaken, not only on his resurrection when he says, "Go into all the world," but when he ascends into heaven, he again doesn't leave us alone, but he sends us his Holy Spirit, his abiding presence to dwell within each of us every day as we have that relationship with God. And now, what? We are the temple, right? We're the temple of the Holy God, of the Spirit of God. The Jehovah Shammah lives within us. Man, let that just think of that just for a moment, that you and I have the Holy Spirit, God, Jehovah Shammah, his presence living with us. That's why you and I can cry out, "Abba, Father." That's why you and I have the presence of God abiding with us. But look, it's not just for us. You know, Paul reminds us, and he tells us, he says, "Don't you know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The Spirit of God dwells in you, but why does the Spirit of God dwell in us? He dwells in us so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. That we can go and we can be that source of God's presence and people who are going through things and be the love of Christ and show them that Jehovah Shammah is here in that midst. And you can encourage them with that revelation that God's presence is here and he's with them as they walk through it. But Stephen Charnock, on his book, he says this. He says, "The believer carries in his own heart the presence of Jehovah. He is not only near, he is in you." And one day we're going to see the fullness of Jehovah Shammah when Christ returns and we're in heaven. As Revelation 21:3 says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his temple." And then in the New Jerusalem, when we get there, and it says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is to the Lamb." And so we're going to experience in all of his greatness and all of his glory one day when Christ comes and we return and we're there in the New Jerusalem with him. We're going to see that the full presence of God in all his glory and all its majesty, and we're going to bow down and worship him. And so what does Jehovah Shammah have to do with us today, you and me today? How can we walk that? We see it in the person of Jesus Christ. We talked about the Holy Spirit being dwelt inside of us. Well, here's the truth that we can walk out with. And young person, you're going to experience God. You're going to go out into this world as you get older, and you're going to experience things and see things that you never thought you would ever experience. And in the midst of the things that you will go through in your life, you're always going to know and need to know that God is with you in the midst of it, that his presence is always there. Don't ever give up hope. Don't ever give up hope, because this world is hopeless. But don't ever give up hope, because Jesus, Jehovah Shammah, the Spirit of God is there, whatever it is that you're going through. He mentioned last night, He has a plan, He has a purpose for every one of you, for every person here. Doesn't matter your age, His plan and purpose for you is here now. But never lose sight of Jehovah Shammah, the fact that He's there, because when you begin to look at the world, and it looks attractive for a little bit, the Bible is very clear, sin is fun for a season, but then it just brings nothing but death and destruction. And I've seen too many young people lose hope. I've prayed with too many parents whose children have lost hope and took their lives. That's not a place that you want to be because of the finality of what has taken place. But Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's right there with you at every moment of every aspect of your life. And you need to hang on to that and know that. And so that's my first point for us, is that because Jehovah Shammah is there, is the number one, is that we are never alone. We're never isolated, no matter how you may feel, physically, emotionally, spiritually. God is always there. Psalm 137, or 139, 7 through 10, always remind us that no matter where we go to the highest of the heavens or the depths of Sheol, no matter where we go, God is there in the midst. He's there with us. We can't hide from His presence. His presence is there in times of trouble, in times of pain, in times of sickness, in times of whatever it is. God, Jehovah Shammah, is there. And I love what Spurgeon says. He says, the presence of God is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And without it, we have nothing. With it, we have everything. We need the presence of God. It is a necessity for us as humans, and in particular as believers, and have those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ. We need His presence, right? It's just like, hey, if your presence doesn't go with me, I ain't going anywhere. If you don't go, I'm not going. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. Jehovah Shammah, you are there with me, and I am not going to go anywhere unless you lead me there and you guide me there. And that's the hope that we have. And here's the second thing. We can have and we can face trials with confidence. When you go through trials, and we will go through trials, so you can know that God is with you no matter what you face. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We can know that James, the book of James reminds us that God is with us in that. So here's the wonderful thing about this. Jehovah Shammah doesn't promise the absence of trouble. He just promises that His presence is going to be in the trouble with us. He's going to be with us as we walk through no matter what it is that we go through. And I've been pastor long enough, over 40 plus years in ministry, and I have seen some incredible things and people go through some incredible painful loss, whether it's the loss of a spouse, in particular, the loss of a child. It's just one of these things that you never get over as a parent, but the things that you see. I remember as I was a pastor in, at Metro Life Church in Orlando, and we had a family, and family of about five. They just had a newborn child, had him in a little walker. Someone came, knocked on the door. They were having some work done on the house. And, she told her sons just, hey, keep an eye on the baby and on. And so while she was there, they had a swimming pool. They had to screen up on the swimming pool around it. But one section left open. And that little baby just scooted around and came and fell into the pool, and the weight of the walker kept the baby pinned to the ground. Mother came back in, where's the baby? And instantly went to the pool, dove in, ended up, baby died. What was the most amazing thing about it is they wept, we cried with them, we prayed with them, walked them through the whole process, but then to see them the next Sunday morning at church with their hands raised, worshiping God, was one of the most impactful things I've ever seen in my life in ministry. Just to see them with their hands lifted, declaring God's greatness and His glory in the midst of their pain and suffering, and I knew that Jehovah Shammah was there in the midst of that. That was the only thing that gave them hope, knowing that they were going to see their child again, knowing that the joy of having that child just for that little, less than a year old, to have that baby less than a year in the midst of that, and then cling to the presence of God, cling to the Spirit of God in the midst of that, and know and declare, saying, I know you will be with me, and I know you're with me. And to see the family respond to that and to bring glory to God through that was just one of the most incredible things I've seen in my life. I've seen other situations of just the power of forgiveness. I'll just tell you another story, because these are just some incredible things that have happened. Had a woman in our church at Metro again in Orlando, and she was a florist, and her mom was a florist at another location, and had a man come into the florist shop, strung out on drugs, ends up killing her mother. And then a couple days later, he went to another shop, killed another woman at the shop to fulfill his drug habit. And so he was ended up caught. They obviously made statewide news, and you have that moment where you are able to meet the victim, where you as the family are able to talk to them. And I never forget the courtroom setting there that day as we were there. And this two families coming from different backgrounds to see how they responded. Now, the one was a husband and his children, and this guy had killed the mother. He got up and he just was like, just venomous. I hate you. Rot in prison. I will never forgive you. I mean, it was just like, oh, you know, you just couldn't believe. You just saw the anguish and the pain of this man. I mean, you certainly felt it. And then you had this woman whose mother, that she loved dearly, and all the grandchildren there. And as this woman is there, cameras on her, and she is saying, I want you to know what you did was wrong, and the pain, and she brought out the pain of everything, the loss of all of that, and then she just looked at him. She said, but I want you to know, I forgive you. Man, you should have felt, you could have felt the presence of God. You go from hostility, the guy that did not have a relationship with the Lord, the pain, the vengeance is his. I mean, he was, I hope you rot in prison, to the opposite end of this woman that comes in and feels the pain, and what you did was hurtful. You've affected my family. You've done everything. You've taken this woman away that we love, and da-da-da-da. But I want you to know that I forgive you, and the only reason I can forgive you is because God has forgiven me. And man, I mean, you just can't live stuff like that or just come in and say, hey, these people experienced Jehovah Shammah. He was there with them. And the only thing that got them through those experiences was the presence of God. It's the only thing. It's the only thing that can get you through there. I've seen some incredible things. I've seen people go through incredible tragedies and circumstances in life, and I've seen wonderful, joyful things as well. And in the midst of it, whether it's on the mountaintop or whether it is in the valley, the presence of God was there. And each time they give glory to God, they trust Him through the process. And it's just been a life-changing experience for me. So you can have confidence that no matter what you're going through, God is there with you. But here's this other aspect. We must pursue His presence. You know, it's great to hear stories about the stories that I just shared with you. But what is your story? Where was God with you? Even in the small things. It may not be the loss of a child. It may not be the loss of a mother in horrific circumstances. But maybe it's just something to where in your own heart, where you just don't feel God. You know, I mean, I know if you've ever been there. I've been there. You know, I think one of the best titles John Piper ever did on a book was When I Don't Desire God. You know, and I'm like, I've been there, John. Thank you for writing a book like that. When I don't desire God. I've been there. I know the Bible. There are different times I've experienced it in my life. And I'm just at times I think, Lord, am I just dry? You know, what is it? And it's at that moment where I've just said, I've got to seek the presence and pursue the presence of God. And where that comes from is His Word. It comes in prayer. Most of the time, it comes in worship. I just got to sit and worship. I got to get my focus off of me. I've got to get my focus off of my circumstances. And I've got to get my gaze back on the One who matters. I've got to stop looking at my circumstances and look at the One who is above and in control of my circumstances. And when I do that, then I fall back, and it's like just this throwing a bucket of cold water on you. It's like, okay, come on, get out of your myopic little world that is like this, and you know, this oh me type mentality, Phil. Look up. Don't look out. Look up. Look up to the One who's there, the One who's right here in the midst of it. You may not feel my presence, but I am here. And no matter what you feel, I'm here because I'm Jehovah Shammah. I'm the God who is there, Phil. I am giving you my Holy Spirit. And so we pursue that. And then as I mentioned earlier, the last thing we can do is we've been called to be His presence to others. Christ dwells in us by His Holy Spirit. When we are to be the vessels of His presence to the world. This world is broken, longing for hope, and we can show them that Jehovah Shammah is there. And so that's the beauty of it. And I think these two experiences that I shared with you of these families that went through, how they brought the presence of God in the midst of that in a horrific situation, and they were being the presence of God to the others. The one man that was vicious toward that guy who killed his wife, watching the reaction of that man was heartbreaking as he just kind of cowered back as this guy viciously came at him. But when that woman got up and she shared and said, I forgive you because God has forgiven me, that man looked her dead in the eyes and he just looked at her and he said, thank you. I mean, it was powerful. It was powerful. And you just felt it because you knew this man's life, but she was the presence of God to that man at that moment. She extended the love of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus to him. And how he responded was one of, I am so sorry. Thank you. I mean, it was just incredible to see. And this Ken Hemphill, he says this, the truth must impact every aspect of daily life, or this truth, the fact that he's Jehovah Shammah. This truth must impact every aspect of daily life. If the world is to see a holy God, they will see him in us. And that's very challenging, isn't it? It's very challenging as I walk through this. Jehovah Shammah is the name of the Lord who dwells with his people. From Eden, the Garden of Eden, to Ezekiel, from Bethlehem to Pentecost, from basically our hearts to the New Jerusalem, the story of the Bible is simply this. It's the story of God coming to dwell with us. It's amazing to be with us. And so in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, if you're lonely, in the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of trials, in the midst of all this thing, your hope is in eternity, but your hope is in a God who will be there. Jehovah Shammah. He's right. He's here with us right now. And he's right. He's with us right wherever you're at. So he is Jehovah Shammah. So let's pray. So Father, we thank you that you are Jehovah Shammah. You are the God who is there. You were the God who revealed himself to the children of Israel, even in the midst of their sin and judgment was upon them. You gave them hope and a future and a promise of restoration. And you fulfilled that in the sending your son to be God with us. And then for us, to have your Holy Spirit living inside of us, that we can not only experience him and experience your presence, but that we can be the light and love and the hands and feet of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And so, Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love Jehovah Shammah. These next three, this one today, the one tonight, the one tomorrow, are probably, three of my favorites. And so, I trust you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith that, know that God's with you. No matter wherever you go, no matter how old you are, his presence is here with you and he's here to comfort and strengthen and encourage you. Amen.